The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m. on 2SSR 99.7.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Troy Murphy Show. Now, last night, our local member for Hughes, MP Jenny Ware, held a forum on the voice referendum, and it was a respectful debate between Yes supporter journalist Joe Hildebrand and No advocate former Prime Minister Tony Abbott. And joining us on the phone to talk about the event is our MP for Hughes, Jenny Ware. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. Firstly, thank you so much for organising last night's event. It's refreshing to see a federal member for the area so actively engaged with the community, more so than just cutting ribbons and handing out awards. So thank you.
First of all, Troy, thank you for having me on your show, and thank you to your listeners. It was a great event last night. I had said that I campaigned last year on A Fresh Start for Hughes, and that's what I want to see. I've been there now for almost a year. We're coming up to a year on the 21st of May, and I am doing mobile offices. I've got surveys out there. I want to hear from the Hughes electorate as to what's important to them. And for me, the voice referendum is something that is of national importance. It's very important to both Indigenous Australians and non-Indigenous Australians. And I was delighted with the way things went last night. We had a very good cross-section of the Hughes electorate, and I thank everybody that turned up. And we also had people from outside of the Hughes electorate. We had two great panellists, Joe Hildebrand, who is well-known reporter, and an active, a very much of personality, and I know that Joe wouldn't mind me saying that. And then to get Tony Abbott, the Honourable Tony Abbott, a former Prime Minister and a person who has deep interest and engagement with the Indigenous community. Tony had sort of kept his light under a bushel a little bit, but he used to, even as Prime Minister, he used to spend a week, a year, or sometimes more in remote communities throughout the country, understanding what is going on in remote communities and trying to understand the issues and then trying to address them, because we clearly have a very big difference. We call it closing the gap, that we need to address with all of the indications, the life markers, as I call them, between Indigenous Australians and non-Indigenous Australians. And at every level, whether it be health, education, housing, domestic violence, recidivism, representations in the court, the Indigenous community is overrepresented in the worst aspects of all of those life markers, and we need to do a lot better. So it was, I think, a great event last night, and I was very glad, Troy, that you were there and you were able to cover it. So thank you for being part of it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me there. It was a great debate between the two, or forum between the two, Joe Hildebrand. He's got the gift of the gab, and Tony Abbott with his ability to recall information is phenomenal. You can tell why they're both great at what they do. Now, when it came to the speakers, who, in your opinion, made the stronger case?
I'm actually not going to call it. Yep. I moderated it. And what I was really pleased to see was it was a respectful debate. They sparred a bit. They'd known each other for a long time. But what I liked about it was that they were able to bring intellectual rigour to a very difficult issue. And they did it in a way that they could debate and disagree without it descending into anger or personal attacks. And that is why I was delighted when both Joe and Tony had agreed to be the panellists on that forum.
And what were some of the key points addressed by both sides, Joe and Tony, that really stood out for you?
I think that the first thing is the constitutional recognition of Indigenous Australians has been part of Liberal Party platform for a very long time, and that was acknowledged by both Tony as a former Prime Minister, and also by Joe. And some people, there have been comments around this is just symbolism, but Troy, symbolism is important. If symbolism wasn't important, we wouldn't have uniforms, we wouldn't have flags, we wouldn't have badges. Every weekend in my electorate, people out there, they're supporting the Sharks. I've come out of the closet as a Dragons supporter. But people are out there, they're wearing... I know, I'm just about to lose, lose a whole lot of the electorate.
Don't worry.
Cronulla's my second team. Let me say, Sharks are my second team.
I just dumped the Sharks as number one for the Dolphins.
Well, you're in trouble as well.
I'm in a lot of trouble. Sorry.
But that's what I thought. So we canvassed things like... constitutional recognition, and then we went through some of the... I have said that the way that the question has been currently framed by the Albanese Labor government is problematic. It has brought into it issues around executive government, and I think... I'm a lawyer by profession.
Yeah.
But when we talk about there being representations to executive government means the Commonwealth bureaucracy. So this means that potentially, if that is entrenched into our constitution, and our constitution is our foundational document, it's our country's handbook, if you like, as to how the federal parliament can make laws for Australians. It's been a document that has served us extremely well. I still think Australia, we became a federated nation on the 1st of January 1901. Our constitution has stood the test of time. We have very express powers, and the way that we work as a federation and then with the states is that the Commonwealth in our constitution is given very express powers to make laws. And then the states are given what we call the residual. So, and I don't want to bore your listeners too much with details about our constitutional makeup, but relevantly for the voice argument, there is a power within the constitution to make laws with respect to certain races of people. And it's what we call the races power. And this has been used to make laws with respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. So there is the argument, particularly with constitutional recognition, and I say just recognition, not anything further, which is if we have in our constitution the express ability to make laws with respect to Indigenous Australians, there needs to be a recognition that Indigenous Australians were the original inhabitants of our country, and that can be done in the Constitution in a way that it's simply expressed as a statement. And I think that it is symbolic, but as I said, symbolism matters, and that I think would go a long way towards healing a lot of the perhaps the wrongs that are perceived to have happened to our Indigenous Australians. They're the oldest surviving civilization in the world, 65,000 years. So I think we need to entrench in our constitution the fact that Indigenous Australians were the original inhabitants of our country. And since that time, we've had... I talk about it as the Book of Australia. When I go to citizenship ceremonies, I said there are three chapters to our Book of Australia. There is our Indigenous Australians, oldest civilization in the world existing today. Then we have then been built on European institutions, which has included things like the Westminster system of government, democracy, our rule of law, the right to remain silent, for example, within a court system, your right to a jury trial in certain circumstances. They're all very important institutions that have come from European settlement of our country. Then our third chapter, or our third wave, was the immigration, particularly, that started after World War II. We saw Europe absolutely decimated by the most dreadful war that our world has ever known. And from that, we, Australia, first of all, opened our doors to particularly immigrants and a lot of displaced persons from Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and then from that we've continued that multicultural tradition of welcoming people from all around the globe. And in my electorate of Hughes, we have people from the subcontinent, we have people from Asia, Africa, the Americas, everywhere around the Middle East, everywhere around the world, we have welcomed immigrants. And we are the most successful multicultural country in the world. So from all of that, I think that the Book of Australia has been very well written and will continue to be well written by sort of those three, I suppose, pillars of what makes up our story.
And as it should, and hopefully it continues to succeed. Now, Jenny, you've previously said that your position on The Voice will be finalised based on community consult in order to reflect the Hughes electorate. As it stands now, after your mobile office consultations and the community forum on Wednesday night, where does Hughes that has represented itself to you, stand?
Hughes, we are still collating. I've put out a survey as well of the electorate, and that's and I'd ask any of your listeners to please respond to it. They can find it on my website. Those responses are still being collated. We've had a really good response on it. We've had a lot bigger response than we normally receive on most surveys. So once that's collated, I'll have a better idea about where the electorate is sitting with this. A lot of the feedback I've had from last night was that people are still a little bit unsure about the detail of what the Albanese Labor government means about a constitutionally enshrined voice to Parliament. And there have been a lot of questions asked of the government, and so far the government seems a bit reluctant to answer a lot of those questions. So I think that the sort of forum that we had last night, I mean, I'm one of 151 members that sit in the House of Representatives. I would think it would be in the government's interest to be hosting forums such as the one I had last night throughout other electorates as well, to educate Australians and to allow Australians to ask questions about what they are going to be asked to vote on in October. The government said it's October. I'm sure it will be, but it's up to the government. And we've only had eight occasions since 1901 when Australians have voted to change the constitution. So we've had eight successful referenda, and Australians are protective of our constitution, which we should be. And so I think that holding community forums, town hall meetings is a way that the community can properly engage and ask questions. We can do it through social media, and that's one forum. But I was really heartened last night. I had a lot of people in the audience, including a lot of people from my electorate who I know are over the age of 70. Now, a lot of people in that age bracket are on Facebook and are on Instagram, mostly so they can follow what their grandchildren are doing. but I think it is really essential, particularly as parliamentarians, that we are directly connecting with our community, and the best way of doing that is through being out with them in a room and allowing the hard questions and the easy questions, and collaborating with them and finding out what it is that really matters to them.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about the hard question. Well, the unfortunate ending of Wednesday night's forum, when the Indigenous man, and I never got his name, and I've been trying to find his name, but when he took the stage, I want to gauge what your thoughts were when you reflect on what happened.
I think so. The way that the forum ran last night was Joe and Tony both had around 10 minutes each to give an overview of their position. So Joe was for the Yes campaign, Tony was for the No campaign, and they both gave their opening. I had then a series of questions I put to both of them, and then after that I threw the debate open and I said, right, well, we've got some time now, we'll take questions from the floor. And I was really heartened. We had a really beautiful acknowledgement of country done by Auntie Gail Smith, and we also had another one of our locals there, Auntie Dolly, and her community and her supporters. So we had representations there from our local Indigenous communities, which was very important. And we had questions from the floor that included questions from one of Auntie Dolly's people. The first question that I took actually was from one of the Indigenous supporters. We had a lot of hands in the air, Troy, and I had to be respectful of the panelists' time. I also had to be respectful of the audience's time. And so we had about 20 to 30 minutes of questions from the floor, from a cross-section of the audience. And so I was concluding and just sort of wrapping up. Joe had both done their sort of closing, I suppose. And then somebody asked me, can you hear from somebody else? Can you hear from somebody from an Indigenous person? And I was apologetic. I just said, I'm sorry, we've simply run out of time. And then the person, and I know Troy, I did not catch his name and I still don't know his name. I think he said that he was an Indigenous person from somewhere around the Mid-North Coast. He then took to the stage and said some words. The event had pretty well concluded at that time, and on the advice of the AFP, there were a couple of AFP officers in the room. They said, "We need you to leave now, Jenny." So I acted on their advice, and the event had concluded at that point.
Can we clarify a few things that have gone out into the media today, or rectify a few things that have gone out to the media today? Did you or did you not ask for the Facebook Live stream to be shut down?
No, I didn't ask for the Facebook Live stream to be shut down. The Facebook was live streamed by my office, and it concluded when the event had concluded, so there was no shutting down. I've read or I've been told about some of the media reports that I shut down the debate. I didn't. The event was finished,
yeah.
And so that's why the live stream. And I know too that Sky News were there. They had recorded it, so there would also be footage of from Sky News as well. And clearly, I have no control over Sky, so there would also be footage from the entire night from Sky as well.
Jenny, I'd hate to end on a sour note, but it was a wonderful event. Thank you so much for putting it on and for taking the time to chat with us today.
Oh, thank you, Troy. It's an absolute pleasure. And again, and for all of you listeners, thank you. I know that many of your listeners have already contributed to the debate. They've filled out surveys. very happy for them to continue to do so, and I look forward to being on your show and speaking with you again soon.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SSR.com.au homepage program guide.